Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey friends, Emily here. You are joining us for the last episode in the Moms and Work series. We are getting ready to talk all about the mommy wars, the different judgments that we tend to make about other moms, and how we can be unified in kind of our choices about work and support one another. But before we jump into that, we want to talk a little bit about Easter. If you are looking for gifts for your children during that time, we want to direct you to our show notes, where we will link to a gift guide. We are going to have a roundup of different books and items that you could get for kiddos. One that we want to highlight specifically is Anytime, Any Place, Any Prayer by our very own Laura Whiffler. So she released a children's book on prayer last summer, and we think it would just be a great addition to whatever Easter gifts you are potentially choosing to give to your kids this season. So the other thing that we want to let you know is that we have flyers to share about Risen Motherhood. So we know those of you who listen regularly and you're part of our community have just been blessed by the gospel. And we know that a lot of you guys want to share that with your friends. So again, you can head to our show notes and you can find these free downloadable flyers. We've got beautiful colored ones. We've got bigger ones. We've got smaller ones. We've got black and white ones. They are things that you could distribute at your Bible study. You can hang them up on a bulletin board somewhere in the community. You can hang them up in your church, at a school, wherever it is that you could reach moms with that message to let them know that Risen Motherhood is out there. We are available, and we know that motherhood is hard. We've even specifically just designed the verbiage on that flyer to, you know, attract a mom who is in a tough spot and she needs to hear the hope of the gospel. So we hope that you'll utilize that free resource. And okay, we are ready to jump into the last episode here in our mini series. Okay, so now that we've talked about all types of work and we've kind of run the gamut, it feels like, I think one of the bigger questions, just even to think about mom culture at large, and just as we want to be Christian moms, how do we foster a spirit of unity across the different ways that we do the types of work that we do, right? Income producing or not, whatever it is. It just seems like it's one of those things that it constantly causes division among moms. I mean, even for you and I, we've felt the tug and pull with one another, where I tend to be somebody who works a lot and kind of feels like, hey, everybody can kind of handle a little bit more than they have. And you're kind of on the other side of saying, okay, no, we don't need as much and scale back and let's do less. And so even between you and I don't know if that's ever become a big deal, but it's something that I would say we all experience in our relationships with other moms, right? Some sort of dissonance on this topic.
Absolutely. I even think if you look across your, you know, church body or, you know, your neighborhood or your friend group, like likely there is some variation in the way that moms are spending their days and the different types of work that they're doing. And I think because work is such a visible thing, it's like something that we can instantly look at and make a judgment on. You know, maybe you can't tell what kind of attitude somebody has, or, you know, you're not in their home actually like observing them, but it's just kind of this easy way that we feel like, ooh, I'm going to just size them up.
Yeah.
And I also have noticed within my own heart, and I think this is true of women in general, is we like for there to be a consensus on things.
Yes, we're so relational.
Yeah, like we want everybody to kind of do the same thing. And when everybody's doing the same thing, we feel like it's right. Yeah. And, you know, we don't really like it when somebody's kind of an outlier or they're making a different decision, or we don't like to be the outlier.
Yeah.
And so I even think that there is that tension within friend groups, within church bodies of moms that are doing different things for work and motherhood and different balance. And it can kind of feel like, ooh, if I'm not doing what the majority is doing, then I'm on the outs or people are judging me, or maybe we're judging the mom who is doing something different. So it's just, it can be a real relational issue.
Yeah.
in motherhood.
Yeah, and I think another thing that's interesting is that you often end up spending a lot of time with a mom who does similar things as you,
yeah,
just because of schedules, like pure practical, where I know when I didn't have any outside work commitments that were income producing, I spent a lot of time with other stay-at-home moms, and that was kind of my bubble because we had time to spend together during the day, you know? And then now that I work a lot more, I find that it sometimes feels just easier to connect with somebody else who also carries kind of a part-time job where they're kind of juggling both things. And part of it is just our schedules are open near the same amount of times, or we have just more chemistry in the way that we understand one another. And so I think the other thing that happens is we start to kind of silo, where I think the church does a great job where we're all kind of put into the big bucket. But if you're not really working very hard, you'll start ending up being like, oh, I'm going to stay over here with just, you know, all the moms that do it the same way as I do. And you're not getting that exposure to the other side to see how it might work in somebody else's life to do it differently.
Right. And so we want to just have this conversation today because, like Laura said, we know it's been something we've felt in our own hearts. We've, of course, observed this, a culture at large. But as Christian moms, we know that we need to be approaching this differently. We need to be pursuing unity in our church body. We need to be seeking to build each other up and, you know, helping and encouraging each other in the role of motherhood, in the biblical calling that God has given us, and then also encouraging each other in all the different types of work that God has given us to do, and to be cheering one another on and pointing each other towards Christ and taking that long view. But how does that look practically? Like, what does that actually look like in our lives on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. Well, and I feel like my first tip would just be a little bit of what I guess I was already sharing, but if you're feeling sort of judgmental about a mom in your community, get to know her. You know, I just think there's sometimes, for me personally, I know that often I'm the type of person who can kind of see improvement everywhere. Like, I can see little ways that, like, we could do this a little better or that a little better. And it's something that I sort of have to keep in check, where I can say, just enjoy, just be, Laura. And with that, I have learned, though, so much that often when I see something that could be different, whether that's, you know, a church thing that's going on or a friend's life where I'm like, oh, if they just turned these knobs, it'd be fine. Sometimes I feel like if I come in with questions and with a heart posture to learn, then I realize, oh, they actually have really good thoughts behind that. Or they actually have tried these things that I thought we should try, but they've already done those things and it hasn't worked for these really good reasons. And so I think that's something where we can often sort of, again, get in these little silos or kind of stretch out our arm to this mom who's doing something different and say, like, I don't understand her and I don't need to understand her because I know, but mm-hmm. You don't know.
I have been humbled so many times by this principle of getting to know somebody who's maybe making a little bit of a different choice. And then as I've spent time around her and I've spent time around her kids and I've watched her do motherhood, I'm like, whoa, she is so intentional. She's so loving. Like, she's really emulating Christ to her children. Like, I didn't realize she, you know, served in this certain way. And, you know, in the end, I learned from her and I went, ooh, it was easy for me right off the bat to just be like, oh, she blah, blah, blah. Then she must not care about her kids that much. And then as I got to know her, go, actually, she cares about her kids a lot. And she's doing some things that I wish I could do. And of course, like, that's not, you know, every single time we find out that somebody is an amazing mom. But I do think in the context of godly communities of moms who are making different choices, oftentimes we need to get a little bit closer to the situation to see some of the ways that she's thriving and that she's doing motherhood well. And like, we can actually learn from her in that.
Believe the best with other people. I mean, there's no reason we should start out saying, I'm just going to believe the worst of you. Like, start with a position that says, I want to believe the best in these other moms who are pursuing Christ and doing life differently. And then also the idea that, just remembering too, you are only called to be faithful in your life. Like, there have been so many times where I've looked at somebody else's life and just thought, I'm so glad I don't have to be faithful in that. I'm not responsible for that. Like, at the end of the day, I'm only responsible for the life that God has given me, the place that he has put me. And that is incredibly freeing and actually should really remind us of how we are not the judge and jury. We are not called to do any of that. Christ is going to do that. I mean, he will do that someday.
And we don't have to give an account for her life.
Exactly. But we give an account for our own.
Yes.
And the judgment that we do. And that's sobering and humbling for
yes.
sure.
And because I think all of us, going back to our show about how we all err in our work, no matter how you're spending your days, like, I guarantee, like, you can be, and I say this from experience, like, you can be a stay-at-home mom who doesn't manage your time well, who doesn't love your kids well, who, you know, has a bad attitude, who isn't doing things to the glory of God. And you can be a stay-at-home mom and be incredibly productive with your time, be incredibly service oriented and generous. And like, you could say the same thing for a working mom. Absolutely. So I don't think like we can immediately just look at someone's choice and know what kind of mom they are. And I think we need to turn that on ourselves and go, hey, just because I think I've made XYZ right choice, well, wait a second. Do I need to examine my heart? Do I need to examine my attitude towards my children? Do I need to examine the way that like I'm honoring my own husband and the things that our family needs? And then secondly, just to look at this idea of why does this bother me so much? Like, is there a self-righteousness here that it's almost like a pride? It's kind of like that downward or upward comparison where it's like, hey, if I think I'm right and I think you're wrong, then I get to feel good about myself. Yeah. But if you're doing something that I'm not sure, ooh, should I be doing that? Then like my identity goes into chaos and I feel insecure and I have to like kind of condemn myself. And so we just don't need to get into that spiral. I think we can definitely like look at other moms and learn from other moms, but it doesn't have to, like, we don't have to like rank ourselves, because if we're thinking in light of the gospel, like we are already made good before the throne of God through Christ. So we don't have to like jockey for position.
That is so good. Yes. Another kind of tip with sort of developing community and all of this is to think about how you can find a couple of friends in real life. So not internet friends, but friends who know you in real life, who know your values, they know your family, and they can help hold you accountable. So these are things where you just have some friends where you can talk really frankly with one another. I mean, Emily is definitely one of those friends for me where she was able to look at my life in real life, in person, and see, hey, some of these priorities are out of whack. And here are some areas where you're experiencing scope creep, or here are some areas where you are, she even now will say to me like, hey, I see potential for this to be too much, or I see habits that are coming back that, you know, we've talked about that you don't want in your life. And so they don't have to be in the same industry as you. They don't have to be doing the same type of work that you do. They don't have to, you know, you can have a stay-at-home mom and a working mom, both talking about these type of things. So you don't have to be in a similar job at all, but you know each other's values. You believe in the same things and you're willing to share the hard words.
And just a quick note. I mean, I think these are things that happen over the course of years.
Yes.
You know, I know that Laura and I have taken years and years and years and years of working together and being friends to where we got to the point where we can kind of, you know, say these things to each other in like loving, friendly, funny way. Yeah. Sometimes
it probably would have hurt my feelings like 4 years ago.
Yeah. Like,
say that.
Don't start off like day two in your friendship, like correcting somebody. But I think, you know, and we both know this about ourselves, and Laura will often say this to me. She'll go, Emily, is that actually a lot? Or does that just feel like a lot? And I know that's like a nice cue to me of, okay, like let's back up a little bit. We're like letting this idea of work spiral out of control. And so it's really, really helpful. And I know that her and I, you know, have other friendships as well, whereas like we've walked with people over the course of years and we've talked through different decisions about taking on a job, taking on a volunteer responsibility, cutting that back. Like I can think of numerous people that I've watched them make different choices over the course of years. And we've talked through all of those things. And I think having a wise, godly friend who follows the Lord, loves the Lord, knows their Bible, and like values motherhood to do that with is so crucial.
So related to this, but a little bit different, would be finding friends that are in a similar sphere of work as you and has the same values as you. So this has been very just hugely beneficial for Emily and I to find friends who do the same type of ministry that we do. I mean, obviously there's some differences, but in general have kind of these ministries that they do. And then also they really value the family. They really value God's word. They really value their husbands. And so to find these women and being able to say, hey, what are some strategies that are working for you? Or, hey, do you mind sharing that document that you did? And it'll kind of get you to where you need to go a little bit faster. Or here's some encouragement, because I understand that exact same season that I've been through whenever, you know, X, Y, and Z happened in my career, and now you're experiencing it. And they're just able to kind of give you right thinking. Maybe they're an older, wiser woman down the path, but still in the same industry as you. Our board members, a lot of them have been incredibly helpful being able to speak into Emily and my life and say, hey, it's not going to get any easier, ladies. Or, mm-hmm. hey, we think this is wise. Or, hey, actually, why don't you adjust it and think about it this way? And so having people who just understand what you do. If you're a nurse, find some nurse friends. If you are a teacher, find some teacher friends. If you volunteer heavily at the local, you know, thrift store or whatever, like find some friends that are there, or find some stay-at-home moms. If you're full-time at home, find some of those that can say, hey, let's be hard workers. Let's be industrious. Let's be wise with our time. And I think that that really helps to come from someone who can relate.
Oh, totally. And ask for the nitty-gritty practical things, because I think it never ceases to amaze me how sometimes it is the practical tip of like, here's how I get dinner made.
Or yes.
Here's how I get all the laundry done. Or here's how, you know, I pack to travel so that it makes less time, or that it really, you know, serves my family well, or whatever it is. Sometimes those tips can make a world of difference. Yes. And it's the people who are in the same profession or do similar things with their time that have kind of troubleshooted through all of that and may have some great wisdom to share. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another is see what you can learn from others who do it differently. So this is just one of those things of kind of like what you were saying, Emily, but observing other people, asking good questions, and being willing to swap strategies.
I know, like Lauren, I both like watching Felicia Masonheimer, who she'll like share like throughout her day, mm-hmm. like little snippets of what she's doing. And, you know, I'm fine. I are totally different.
You guys could not be more opposite.
And I know like she has an incredible capacity, but I just love watching her because I've learned a lot from seeing how she structures a day, how she thinks about her time, how she gets ready for the day. And she has such a high value on her children and her husband and her family and her work. And, you know, even though like my life may not ever look exactly like that, mm-hmm. there have been some principles and some good strategies that I've learned from watching her. And I think that all of us can probably think of women in our real lives even who, yeah, maybe we're not, you know, we're a stay-at-home mom, but our friend is a teacher, or we're, you know, an accountant and our friend to stay home mom or whatever. And we can like learn from each other mm-hmm. of, oh, that's how you strategize that, or that's how you organize your schedule. And it can be a way, you know, it's not productivity for productivity's sake, but it's productivity for the kingdom and for loving others well.
Okay. Another one is see how you can help or encourage another mom. So this is kind of taking the focus off yourself and thinking about building a community that really supports one another. So sometimes we know we'll have a friend who is in a really tough season of work and it's not going to change right now, right? She's just committed. She's either got deadlines or she's working all night shifts or whatever it is. Are there things that you can do if you have some of that capacity or time? We talked on another show about being available. Bring your meals or pick your kids up from school, or can you provide some childcare, offer to clean her place? I don't know. I feel like I have been so helped by friends where I've been able to just call them really quick and ask because mm-hmm. I know that they will help me and mm-hmm. I know that they'll just drop everything to be supportive. And so are there ways though that you can kind of reach out and initiate that? And even when I was really going through a lot of difficulties in Chicago, I remember some friends who would say to me, hey, Laura, I'm coming over right now to grab your kids so you have a free afternoon. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I had to ask and it wasn't like I had to reach out, but instead they just initiated. And unless I protested, you know, for whatever, and I wasn't gonna, when they're like gonna pick up my kids, I'm like, okay, that was just so huge for me to be able to help me through some tougher seasons. So think through, like, maybe you don't agree with what's going on in her life. Like you think, oh, she's overcommitted or she should have planned for that or whatever you think, lay those things aside and say, how can I be of service and love her through this?
And I think another thing to go along with that is to like maybe rally support. So sometimes mm-hmm. what people need is like a little bit bigger than what one person can yes. handle. And so you can get a group of friends together. You can go strategize, of course, respectfully and, you know, in a wise, discreet way, yeah. like maybe bring it up to some different leaders at church that are able to help and say, oh, this, we want to like come around this family yeah. and support them. Or we want to like pray with her and help her through this time or the situation, or let's really rally a meal train or a childcare schedule to help this person transition. And so I just think that is a value of a family of God is that it is a family and we help one another and we all have different choices that we make in life, or even it's not a choice, but we're just in situations where like we need a little bit more support and help and we want to be there for one another in the midst of that.
That's good. Another one, this one has been, I think really helpful for me to consider is think about how you speak about, quote, the other side. So again, being somebody who's done motherhood as a full-time stay-at-home mom, and then as somebody who has not a full-time job, but a heavier part-time job, I feel like I've been on both sides of this and felt like at times there has been moments where I've judged moms who have worked and I've spoke about them in ways that are not honoring. And then the other way as well, where when I work, I kind of feel like I snub my nose, or I think, well, they can do it. They've got time because they're a stay-at-home mom or whatever it is. If you're saying that out of a heart of like, I know better, or I know what they should do, or they're doing something wrong, like it's sin. Don't get it out of your mouth, you know? And so really being cautious of like, how do we talk about the other side? Is it with respect and love and care for them as image bearers? Or is it with this like broad stereotype where they're sort of this anonymous blob that like we can just kind of speak about, and we're not considering, you know, if that's honoring to someone that God has made in his image?
Right. Because every single mom has their own struggles, and you don't know what's going on.
You do not know.
You don't know what's going on in someone's home. You don't know what their marriage is like. You don't know what kind of maybe trauma or things that they've had happen in their past that they're processing through.
Yes.
You don't.
That's good.
You just don't know. Whenever we talk about people in broad brushes and stereotypes and say working moms, blah, 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 right, or stay-at-home moms, blah, 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 and we're not thinking about the individual women, the individual moms, and all the different struggles that we're facing, and trying to come at some of the potential pitfalls of those choices, or the potential great things about those choices, with like care and compassion and nuance and complexity, we have more of a potential and ability to, you know, slander somebody or to just say things that are false. So I don't know. I think that's been good for me to learn over the years as I've gotten to know more moms who do a lot of different things, to say, you know what, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. until I get a little bit closer to her and I spend some time with her and I see what she's like, I'm going to reserve kind of my brash stereotypical judgment.
Yes. Well, and on the other side of that, I think that we can go on the offense, right, against moms and say, making these judgment calls, then we can also get very defensive of the side that we're on, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I need to defend the working moms. Like, we are still good mothers. Or I need to defend the stay-at-home moms because, you know what, we can still work hard and we contribute to society. And if I, you know, I should be paid $400,000 a year for all the work that I do. You know, you see these memes online.
Yeah.
And so even just thinking like, how are we speaking about our own kind of position or decisions, and how are we taking in if there's something online where we feel like, hey, that was directed towards stay-at-home moms, or that was directed towards income-producing moms who do income-producing work. Like, even the fact that, like, we have to say it in this, like,
there's not teams.
Yes, exactly. That is, like, thank you. That is it. Stop with the division of, like, I'm on team A and you're on team B. Like, it's just, we're all moms trying to do our best, trying to be faithful to what God has put before us. And so let's consider how we're talking, even considering, like, oh, my, I need to be seen. I need to be known. I need to be accounted for. My work matters. Like that whole mentality, it's like if our identity is secure in Christ as it should be, it shouldn't matter how other people talk about how we spend our days or if we make money or not. And again, going back to saying, my job is to be responsible and faithful in my life, not in anybody else's.
Yeah, we're getting down to the gospel right here, which is just that at the end of the day, if we are secure before the throne of God and we are focused on the mission that he's given us, and we don't believe that we need to earn our salvation or earn, you know, his love and his affection because we have it fully in Christ, and that he is pleased with us in Christ, that we know we're here for a short time and we do have important work to do for the kingdom. If like that is our focus and our focus is our own family, the things right in front of us that he's given us to do, then we don't need to spend a bunch of time like out there kind of like fighting for the specific ideology. And actually, I think what is much more compelling to me, at least, is when I see people in their real life or online over the long course of time showing the beauty of obedience to God in whatever choice they've made. When I see moms that are faithfully loving their families, faithfully loving God, working hard, you know, doing a quiet life, they are, you know, have a gentle and quiet spirit. They have all those things that scripture talks about, and that is how they're living. That is what compels me. That is what, you know, just shows me the truth. And I do think there is a place for kind of sharing what are these biblical principles and offering some correctives, but doing that over the course of time, calmly, patiently, consistently, faithfully is really different than like kind of grabbing our weapons in the mommy war and coming to attack.
You probably have a voice in some people's lives.
Yeah.
It's probably not online in a comment section, but there are probably women in your real life, hopefully at your local church or maybe not even going to church, maybe a non-believer who can see the way that you live differently, that you can have conversations with over the course of years and years about what does it mean to be a mom? What does God's design look like for motherhood? What is our highest calling and how does work fit into that? And so there can be things that you talk about, but often a mom is not swayed by quick judgments and fast words that tell her she's not doing things right, but instead they're convinced by what Emily's saying, this long, slow plotting of beautiful obedience and seeing that played out in someone's life. And I think a mom has to be really ready and in a spot to say, hey, I want to change. Like I see that and I'm willing to talk about what I need to do differently. But while she's in those transitional stages or even in those stages where she just doesn't see it, like we can just love her well, mm-hmm. you know, and we can believe the best that wherever she's at right then, like God's got her. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Thankfully. And so I can let the Holy Spirit do his work, trust the Lord to work in that mom's life and trust God to keep working in my life, knowing that I'm not perfect in making all the right decisions either.
Mm-hmm. The main thing we want to just draw your attention to as we close today is to examine our own hearts, to think about the passions and the fears and insecurities and the things that, you know, wage war in our own hearts and cause us to, you know, attack other moms, and instead to draw near to God, to trust him, to repent where we need to repent, and to look to him to be the ultimate judge and the ultimate, you know, sovereign over all things.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I'm a part of the Risen Motherhood community because it is a wonderful place that encourages women to embrace and be empowered by the biblical role of motherhood and teaches us to understand the generational impact of the gospel.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.